Thanks for joining us tonight. We're going to be getting the group back together again. We'll be talking nothing but wrestling tonight, get everybody caught up on some of the major events, and let's just start talking some smack to each other, and let's have a good old time. So thanks for tuning in.
Getting ready to seize your first opportunity to come into the ring and start grandstanding and hot-dogging. Yeah!
I can't help it that I look good, smell good, woo, can dance all night long.
When we speak, our voices are heard. We all say, I bring it.
Welcome to Malice Smack Talk, the one show that will not leave a lump of coal in your stocking. I am Masonic Santa, taking place of Masonic Vader for the next 2 weeks. I look fantastic. Thank you very much. I'm happy to also be back because of the fact that we've been gone for so long. And so we are looking forward to talking some smack and talking some wrestling. Joining me as always is a bearded master, Marty.
How's it going, everybody? Glad to be back. Let's get some wrestling talk started.
Absolutely. And of course, we've got Mind Freak. Mr. Derek, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing pretty well. And with the shirt, I just have two words for you. We're back.
Yes, yes. Since we are showing off new shirts, that was a good one. Since we're showing off new shirts, I have to show the not WWE licensed, straight from overseas. That's right, Tony Storm.
Nice.
Yes, no WWE tag on that guy. Took 2 weeks to get there from London. Yes, sir. Hey, I'm excited, guys. It's been quiet the last 2 or 3 weeks, but there has been some compelling wrestling stuff going on that I really want to chat and get into. First of all, before we jump in, we just want to take a second to thank our host site, Malice-Corp. The guys who are off in December let us take over the show or the channel, and they're a phenomenal show. They're off, like I just said, for the month, but feel free to check out some of their past shows. Go to malice-corp.com. You can check out all the podcasts there. They have the link specially for it. You can also check them out on YouTube. It's everything, all things nerd. Quest for 100, Comics for All, you name it, they do it. And you'll find some of our old shows on there as well. So go to Malice-Corp. Thank you so much, guys, for letting us to do this. And we are moving forward. Wrestling. We've got TLC coming up here pretty soon. But before we jump into TLC, and we're not going to talk too much of it because they're still kind of getting things going on there. Let's talk about some of the big news that's have been happening in the last couple weeks.
Let's before we get into the big news, let's hit the most recent news first, and that's kind of what happened yesterday. Wrestling
Braun Strowman lost surgery.
Well, that's one of them. Wrestling Universe itself, we lost another great name out there, at least in the Dynamite Kid. I don't know if you guys saw that, but you know, he just passed away on his 60th birthday. Believe that the causes have yet to be announced, which understandable and usually happens that way, but Dynamite Kid, part of the Hart family saga and connection to and ties to them. I'm not gonna say he's one of the greatest wrestlers ever around or greatest tag team wrestlers, but a man who's known for tag team wrestling, part of the British Bulldogs. I know that was part of my childhood growing up watching wrestling, so I just want to give that, you know, that shout out and make that announcement with the loss of the Dynamite Kid.
Absolutely, man. I grew up watching the British Bulldog and the Dynamite Kid. Man, they were a great tag team to watch. They were fun, exciting. And Dynamite Kid running around, man, that dude was grease lightning, man. Super fast, super strong. Did some of the, you know, the headbutts off the top rope and just really put his body on the line. And I truly did enjoy watching the British Bulldogs wrestle, especially going against like the Hart Foundation and everything. It's sad that, I mean, and especially in his later years in life, he was really having a hard time medically. So, you know, definitely it's a sad day to see him go. Mind Freak, you got anything on him?
Yeah, no, same thing. Like, you know, some of the earliest wrestling memories that I have was, you know, as you guys said, you know, British Bulldogs going against the Hart Foundation. You know, a lot of good tag team matches. It's very exciting, very energetic, and it was always a treat to watch those matches, especially, you know, being a young little lad that I was. but yeah, another one gone, and it just sucks.
Yeah, you're starting to see the trend. I mean, unfortunately, wrestling is a different era now. And when we were growing up, The 80s and 90s, man, those wrestlers did everything and then some and put their bodies on the line and in more ways than we will probably ever know. And you're starting to see this, you know, this trend starting to happen. These guys are hitting 55, 60 and everything. And one by one, they're slowly but surely. It's amazing. Some of the guys haven't gone yet. I mean, there's some guys you're thinking, man, he should have been dead 20 years ago. And for some reason, he's still trucking. So, but it is that sad time. And I'm glad that WWE is in the last 10 years or so really focused, kind of like how the NFL has done lately and everything, on trying to their talent and their athletes and try to make it more than just them just putting their lives on the line every freaking night pretty much. So Dynamite Kid will be missed, and man, go if you don't have the network, please go check it out, because I actually was able to see some of their matches from the 80s the last couple days and everything, and it's good to watch some of those guys back in their prime. So
yeah, I mean, if you want to look up anything with Dynamite Kid, obviously his matches with the British Bulldog and what he did, but then, you know, their matches against the Hart Foundation with Neidhart and with Bret Hart, you know, the fact that we just lost Jim Neidhart also, you know, those are some great matches to go back and watch. But if you look at his matches in Japan, I mean, some of those matches were just phenomenal matches. Tiger Mask, I mean, I believe, if I remember correctly, his Tiger Mask's first match was against Dynamite Kid. And obviously Tiger Mask is a legend in wrestling, not just New Japan, but worldwide. But some of those, you know, just going back and watching some of those matches back from the early WrestleManias before he left the WWE, just some stuff to nostalgia and some old wrestling that happened. And back then when it was just pure wrestling, and we didn't have all the gimmicks like Masonic Vader's favorite tag team, the Revival, like to talk about the purity of wrestling. Those are some good matches to go back and look up.
Yeah, you know, in fact, I think I saw something Bret Hart tweeted that it was everything, which was pretty awesome to see that. If you get a chance to check it out, the old school, like, I don't even know, like 78, the paper was almost going brown on them. So, sad to see these guys go. But at least, like I said, with the with WWE Network and all the other networks that are starting up, you'll be able to see their legacy now versus breaking out the old VHS tape and hoping it works still. So let's move on to current events. We said at the beginning, there's a lot of – it's been a little quiet. You're getting to the end of the year. Not too many pay-per-views going on and everything. We do have one coming up in a couple weeks in TLC – or next week, excuse me. So we've got some stuff going on, but let's rewind a little bit and see what's happened. So, big news right now is the fact that Braun Strowman is going to be out. They haven't announced the time and how long he's going to be. I don't know. The way it seems like they were playing it out when he first had his surgery, he might be back a heck of a lot sooner and somehow do the one arm man kind of thing. But if you didn't see the pictures that he was posting and everything, his elbow was completely destroyed. Mashed up pretty good. I'm sure they put some makeup on it too, but he's definitely going to be out a little bit with some surgery. Big blow to the WWE when they were really starting to push him hard to try to get into that WrestleMania title. Change things, Marty.
I'm sorry, you broke out right there. I didn't hear what you said.
How do you think this is going to change with Braun being out? How do you think this is going to change the lineup that WWE is going to have going in the Royal Rumble and everything?
Well, I think that this is going to end up being his return is going to be at the Royal Rumble, first of all, which is frustrating for the fact that I feel like Raw has become a show where they're just throwing things together to try to put on a show that gets through the 3 hours, and it's really not providing that. The entertainment level isn't there. The content isn't there. The value isn't there. Raw has honestly become a tiered show that gives nothing much like a main event would or a Sunday Night Heat. You know, they're not producing the way they were, and that's when they lose their biggest names, you know, starting off with Roman, and then Brock's not there, and then you have, you know, Braun hurt. It's like Kevin Owens. Don't stop forget, Kevin Owens is still gone also.
And Sami Zayn.
Well, yeah, but Sami Zayn isn't a top player. So.
Well, I know, but again, they're riddled with injuries.
Right? Well, yeah. Right, riddled with injuries, but when you have their top of your roster – your best performers are in the mid card because your top of your roster is gone. You know, it's like they're reacting rather than pre-acting, and the reaction isn't there. It's not quality. So it's making it hard to tune in every week. So what's frustrating about this is that, okay, we're going to get this stipulation at TLC. Baron Corbin wins. Now Kurt Angle's gone because for whatever reason, Kurt Angle's gone. A two-week vacation's become a four-month absence for whatever reason. Baron Corbin's going to become the permanent GM, which is absolutely ridiculous and asinine. The best thing coming out of that is the fact that he's made Alexa Bliss the head of the women's division. That's the best thing he's done.
Which that's also something you got to throw in there. Alexa Bliss is on the shelf, so they're using her as kind of like a side to Paige in a sense. Now absolutely. Alexa Bliss is. Have you guys? I haven't seen anything on the extent of Alexa Bliss's injury since the last time we talked. Has there been anything out there? Or are they really trying to keep that on the down low right now?
I don't know if they're trying to keep it on the down low, but I do know this last week she was posting videos on Instagram and Twitter and her storylines that she was in the ring training. So she was to the extent of it was, but she was posting pictures of her in ring with the trainer and working. So she is getting back in the ring. So I would imagine that her return is pretty soon. How soon? Maybe not to the Rumble. But yeah, I think it is the return is there, and at least they're testing her to see what she can do and where she's at. So that's as far as I've seen. No other reports are on it at all.
Now, Mind Freak, do you think they might try to pull something crazy with Braun Strowman? Like from what
I have mixed feelings about it because watching what they did and, they show the flashbacks and his elbow, was just jacked up. But then on their Instagram, like a couple days ago, when they're hanging out with Troops and stuff like that, right, get ready for like tribute to the Troops and doing their thing that they normally do with the Troops, you see him there, like taking pictures, his arm's not in the sling, anything, he's just standing there normal. So that leads me to believe, like, is this a legitimate injury or is this something that they're trying to kayfabe to be like, make it seem like, oh, Baron's just going to win by a forfeit, but then all of a sudden here comes Braun, is he going to one arm it? Sidearm it, that kind of thing. So with this whole situation, I legitimately don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, it's hard to use tribute for the Troops for anything just to throw it out there because I know they do a lot of pre-recording now. They don't do it live like they used to, but it's weird what's going on with the Braun Strowman scenario. Like, because when it first started happening and they were talking about this match with Baron Corbin, it makes me feel like they're going to try to do a one-arm man contest kind of thing, you know, like he's going to show up anyways and something's going to happen. And I agree with you totally, Mind Freak. I mean, excuse me, Beard Master, is that Raw is in a very weird slump. It's rough. Like I'm having a hard time getting through even the Hulu one and a half hour version of it.
Same here. Like
So Monday was the first time I'd been able to watch on Monday Night Raw live, and for the first time I think ever, I actually stopped the live show about an hour and a half in, and I went to the store. Like, that is how bad the program was. Like, it just – I never leave during an active product, and I did. And when I got back, it was – I still didn't watch it until the next day. Like, that's how – like, I didn't even care to see what happened because it just wasn't holding my attention. And it's sad when you – and then you just go flip over the next night, and SmackDown's giving you a can't-miss product. And – It's just ridiculous
that they're doing that. Yeah, and that's even though Raw swept SmackDown, they're supposed to be the superior show in terms of everything that's going on, minus injuries, minus all that stuff. To me, SmackDown is the premier show right now because they have the ones that keep you wanting to watch, like, hey, what's going to happen next week? They're drawing you in. And the way that they're progressing with their storylines instead of some of the throwing storyline stuff together on Raw, like the whole thing, like with McIntyre and Ziggler, like we knew it was going to happen, but this early, and I felt that was kind of forced in the sense that they're lacking storylines due to a lot of these injuries.
Yeah, it's interesting how SmackDown has been able to utilize what, I mean, it's not like they haven't had a roster change or anything. SmackDown is just really did a good job of changing characters. Like I thoroughly enjoy Daniel Bryan's character right now. I think it's a great mix for him to get away from the new Daniel Bryan movement. Yeah, to get away from the Yes movement for a little bit. I don't like the you know, the low blows and everything. But we've already talked about this with Shinsuke. But I like the angle they're using right now to kind of change it up. I like the fact that the women's division is rallying behind freaking the man. And now they're going to have their first TLC match, and it's going to be a three-person with Asuka now. Now they're putting Asuka into the mix. Hell, even Mandy Rose and everybody getting – yeah, Mandy Rose and everybody's getting that push. I mean, SmackDown right now is on a real positive note right now, and Raw is just a bunch of crud, which to me kind of leads into the next thing. With Braun Strowman being out, the next person that they've been advertising coming in is going to be Lars Sullivan.
But the thing is – if you're not – but the thing is with that, though, is they've been showing it here and there, but on the last couple weeks of SmackDown, they talked about Lars a little bit more than they have on Raw, which leads me to believe, is Lars going to go to SmackDown?
I think they've shown the equal amount on both. They've had one promo for him each time, and they've talked about each show. So I don't think they're showcasing him more on Raw or SmackDown, but maybe you just notice him more because it's a smaller show, so there's less content to
clip. So for you guys who are watching right now and are not familiar with Lars Sullivan, he is
the freak,
man. 345. I think that guy's probably 8% body fat, if not less. Big jaw, just a ginormous guy. He's the type of wrestler Vince McMahon likes. A big dude that just can dominate a show. He's been on NXT now, I believe, now for 2 years. Hasn't won a belt or anything, but he's just been just dominating NXT. His last match on NXT was actually with Keith Lee, and actually gave Keith Lee his first loss at NXT, and that was a great match watching him and Keith Lee doing it. This is I know they wanted to bring him in into the WWE into the main roster soon, but I think they might have pushed this forward a little faster because of the fact that Braun Strowman was going to be out, because once again, Vince McMahon likes to have a beast on the show one way or another. Do they put him on Raw where they're struggling with ratings and talent? Do they put him on SmackDown where it's dominating, and now all of a sudden you get this monster to maybe go against the Big Show or something? What, I mean,
this is the way I think he might go to SmackDown, and hear me out. And the reason I think of this is because, like you said, you know, Vince likes the big guys, the big muscle guys, that kind of thing. But the whole thing with that is, on Raw, you don't have Braun. Roman's gone. The only other real big guy, like big guy you have, is Drew McIntyre. I mean, and I guess you can throw Jinder in there, but, you know. But on the flip side, on the other side, you know, when you think of like big guys, really all you have is Big Show and Samoa Joe. And really, we just saw Big Show for a little while up with the Bar. Now he's gone again. And all the only really other big guy that you have is Samoa Joe. So that, because of that, that leads me to think he might go to SmackDown. But
so,
go ahead.
Go ahead. I apologize. No, go ahead. Go ahead. Keep going.
I was going to say that originally that's what I thought. But now, but because of all these injuries and all that stuff, he could go to Raw, but the problem is when Braun comes back, when Roman comes back, is it going to be one of those things where, you know, they advertise them, all this kind of stuff. He goes there, does a couple things, and then just disappears. I mean, really, we'll take like Shinsuke, for example. Look what he was doing before he became the U.S. title holder. Even as the U.S. title holder, what has he really been doing lately?
Yeah.
You know? And that's one of the I'm kind of scared of that may happen with Lars Sullivan.
No, here's the thing. I don't think Lars Sullivan is going to be – he's definitely not a character that's going to come on and be put thrown away and buried. He's going to be someone that's going to be pushed to the top immediately because of his size and the character that and the personality he has. He's definitely someone who's built to be a star, especially in the body and the mold that Vince McMahon is known to go and cater towards. You talk about him possibly going to SmackDown. I don't even think SmackDown is a legitimate opportunity for him. I think that he's absolutely going to Raw. There's no reason for him not to be. You talk about the big guys. I mean, we have Drew McIntyre. We have Elias. Bobby Roode could be jump up if they wanted to, but he's not going to. Bobby Lashley's there. But everybody else is gone. And here's another name that's still out there missing on the injury list. Bray Wyatt. He's still out also. So not only do they need a big power player on the main Raw on Raw, but they just made a spot on Raw on Monday night by getting rid of, even though he's not a big guy player. He's still a big guy on the roster. That's Rhino. Rhino just lost his job, so to speak, on Raw. But they are bringing, you know, they have the roster space to bring him over. And I honestly think that they're going to bring Lars Sullivan over to disrupt everything, feud with Drew McIntyre, and then feud with Braun Strowman to lead towards Brock Lesnar. And I just think that's what they're going to do, just to get some new blood in there. Of course, it's a WWE, so who knows? But I think he's better suited for Raw compared to SmackDown, which is known as the wrestling show.
Yeah, I mean, I could see it going both ways, only because I could see his possibility on SmackDown, because with them going to Fox, excuse me, it brings another player to the mix, especially if they try to push to maybe go that third hour with them, with SmackDown. They've got a lot of fire going on, but at the same time, Raw, I think, does have a better lineup matchup, for him, in someone like, say, Bobby Lashley and Braun Strowman, who comes back. In fact, just side note on Bobby Lashley, I like the angle they're going with him with this whole, like, I'm the man personality in a sense, and flexing. You can get rid of freaking Leo Rush. I think he's annoying as all hell as a side man, but I like the angle that they're doing with Bobby Lashley, just making him an arrogant punk. But you throw Lars Sullivan in that mix. I would love to see a match Lars Sullivan versus Bobby Lashley. I would like to see Lars Sullivan go into Raw and just start wreaking havoc, because Raw needs something like that right now. They need a kick in the ass. Ronda Rousey cannot carry the show, even though that's their main person right now. The women's division is not where it needs to be. You could obviously tell the difference between the shows. The women's division in SmackDown is on fire right now, hence the entire roster is on fire. Also, the tag team division for SmackDown is starting to build up again. The Usos are getting involved again. You're seeing a lot of things happening on SmackDown, and Raw, like we mentioned already, just doesn't have that fire right now. They put all their cards in the basket for Ronda Rousey, the hope that the name would carry it, but then they also lose some key people in the process, and it's just not holding weight. So to have Lars Sullivan to go to Raw would be ideal for them right now, especially for the wrestling fans who've been following NXT that do go to the other show, or to anybody who knows Lars Sullivan outside NXT. They'll be interested to watch him, to see him on the big show, because if you have not watched this guy in the ring, it's impressive. This guy is, when I first saw him, I was like, oh, he's just a meathead. But he comes out and he's just not only pounding people, but he's also just, he's moving fast. He's going up the top rope a couple times. I mean, this guy is doing things that big guys his size don't do. And the whole, he's like the monster persona, just not overdoing it. It's just the perfect mix to throw into Raw and hopefully get them pushed there. So I'm going to say Raw. It sounds like Bearded Master said Raw, and then My Freak, you said SmackDown?
I can see I'm 50-50, but a little bit maybe.
Just
more
say
SmackDown,
yes. So. You've already said like four times.
SmackDown.
No, yeah.
No, I say it can go both ways.
Hold on.
I'm leaning a little bit more towards SmackDown.
We have Leo Rush, the hype man. He's the hype man. And then we got Mind Freak, the Yes Man. I'm just kidding, buddy. You know I love you, man.
Smack talking.
Two words for you.
Keep going. All right. Yeah.
wait. You probably need us to say it first so we can just recite what we told him.
Wow.
Oh man.
Damn. Marty just went full Saxon.
Shut up, Saxon.
Full Saxton, sir. Full Saxton.
I might just end up going full JBL over here or something.
Oh, dang.
Oh, man.
So now let's move on to Becky Lynch. Holy crap.
Who? Who?
The man.
I am the man.
Thank you. Man.
It's good.
First off, the first thing I want to say is I like your new Titan Tron logos where it's just like, I am the man.
Yes.
Yes. Great. It's
now
great.
If they could do something with the music, like we talked about. No, yeah, that'd be awesome too.
Music's great.
Nah, music needs a change, man. They need something with a little bit more. I don't know. I'm a badass right now. I don't know. I feel like I need to go drinking with her, which would probably be really cool too. But I want badass music for Becky Lynch. So, but I mean, here's what impresses me about Becky Lynch. Talked about her now. Yeah, exactly. We've talked about her for 2 years. We've talked about the fact that she hasn't gotten any push. And I hate to say that we're all like people that foretell the future here, but I hate to tell you so, but we've been saying it. Becky Lynch needed that push. The minute she gets her push, holy crap. SmackDown just automatically is way better than Raw. Raw can't keep up with it. The entire show itself has automatically gotten life. I mean, it's. I mean, what? What? Please tell me different.
No. You're absolutely right. You're 100% absolutely right. But I'm just going to be like, it's not just SmackDown. It's not just the universe. It's Becky Lynch. This whole new persona of hers is amazing. Not going after everybody, not caring, because she's the man.
I am the man.
It's we've said it. It's stone coldish. That's what it is. It's exactly what it is. Raw, SmackDown, WWE saw it, and they finally pulled their head out of their proverbial asses. How about that? That's exactly what it is. And nothing's greater than watching her just freaking walk upstairs with blood on her freaking face saying, this is war. This is war, you know? And even better is the fact that she's going to be able to come back much sooner than I think anyone ever anticipated. It's great that she's going to be at the TLC event. I don't know what else to say right now. Becky Lynch right now is just on fire. Nothing. I mean, she's destroying Ronda Rousey on Twitter. That's how awesome this gets. It does.
I mean, well, I mean, in all fairness, Ronnie? Good old Ronnie. I mean, in all fairness, Becky Lynch is destroying everybody.
Even she's Conor destroying. McGregor. She's after Conor
McGregor. Ronda, Nia, Charlotte, WWE. Wrestling universe, WWE universe, wrestling fans. I'm pretty sure she brought in some other Seth Rollins. If you are a wrestler in this world, doesn't matter what organization, federation, group, gym, doesn't matter where you're wrestling at. If you're wrestling, Becky Lynch is coming after you, and that's simply put. She's just destroying everybody. The fact that she's taking on every man, woman, and child, including Vince McMahon and the WWE, it's just amazing. I love it. I've been on the Becky bandwagon since day one, and I'm glad she's finally getting what's due to her. Yes, she was the first women's SmackDown champion, but this has gone even higher than what that ever could have been. I'm concerned that with this injury, whatever it might be, that with them inserting Charlotte into everything and Charlotte the storyline, and we all know how that goes. I'm just afraid that they're going to try to cool her off by putting Charlotte in there again and putting the focus on Charlotte Flair as always, because it's Charlotte Flair. And I'm really hoping they don't.
I see what you're saying there, but I really don't think WWE is going to do it this time. I they did it to her when she won her belt, and then they gave it to Sasha and they gave it to Charlotte. I get that. I totally feel your pain on that. But Vince McMahon, if anything, is a smart businessman, and he sees what he has. I mean, I'm surprised he hasn't jumped his ass back in there and started bringing back Mr. McMahon to go against freaking Becky Lynch. I mean, like I said,
he's scared of what she might do to him.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, this level right now, this really is like people. If you were not watching WWE when Stone Cold Steve Austin came around and won the freaking King of the Ring and said Austin 316 just said I whooped your ass. If you weren't there for that transition and saw that, you're now getting to see it in a newer version, because that's exactly what Becky Lynch has done to wrestling in that period of time.
This is just one of those like far out fantasy things. But how cool would it be if she went after the people's champ and had a war of words with The Rock?
Well, I think she would lose that one. Not too many people win the war with The Rock, man.
True, but how entertaining would it be, though? It would be pretty entertaining.
I would like to throw this out there. So hope maybe we could hashtag Becky Lynch, or excuse me, hashtag the man on this, is that when WrestleMania comes around, she comes out with her special guest, Austin 316. I think that would be sick.
You want to know that what would get phenomenal. Higher than anybody in the history of wrestling? is if she were to do that, and then, you know, if they pop open some Steve Weisers in the middle of the ring, like they have in the back, like Austin is known to do in the middle in the past, and then she just takes him out, takes knees out, puts him in a disarmor, makes Austin pass out in the middle of the ring, a la Bret Hart and Austin at WrestleMania 14. You wouldn't get any hotter than that. She would just say, "I am this business." Even Stone Cold Steve Austin couldn't step to me. This is my business, and I'm here. The sky is literally the limit for her right now, and I hope they keep going with that. I can't wait for her to be back in the ring, just so she can just kick everyone's ass. Like, the promos are great, but I want to see Dominic just beat everyone down, Becky Lynch again.
And let's talk about how this has affected SmackDown, though. Like, we weren't talking about anybody else other than Charlotte and Becky, as far as the women's division. Now, all of a sudden, we're talking about the women's division again. We're talking about Mandy Rose.
Who?
Your girlfriend in fantasy.
Can I rephrase that? God's grace creation?
Yes.
Thank you, Graves. I appreciate that.
I got you.
Everyone's got a chance in this. That battle royal they did was a good battle royal. It brought it got Sonya Deville into the play, which I'm actually happy with, because Sonya Deville is a very underutilized asset in SmackDown right now. It's good as she's teamed up with Mandy Rose, God's gift to people in general. But I want to see her actually get her push eventually, because she's got a lot of talent. Her promo skills are getting better.
Here's the thing. To look at the last couple of weeks, the person who's been leading the women's revolt, so to speak, against the main three has been Mandy Rose, man. She's been walking out there with this mic. This week, she walked out there with Sonya Deville, and she had that tag team match against Asuka and Charlotte. And to be honest, I thought they were really going to job them out again just to get Charlotte and Asuka over and just to keep Sonya and Mandy in their place. And Sonya and Mandy got the win, given it was because of Asuka doing her thing and progressing that storyline. But they gave them the rub by letting them have the win, which I wasn't expecting to do whatsoever. And, you know, they've been showcasing them more often. We're seeing more of them on the mic, seeing more of them in the ring than we were in the past. And, you know, when we're in the last couple months leading up to it, we've been seeing the Iconics. We've been seeing, you know, barely anybody else. So we've been seeing people on the mic that we don't want to see in the mic, and people want to see Sonya and Mandy in the forefront, whether it's on the mic or in the ring. And because of what Becky's doing in Alabama, the women's division, and that women's division is the key point and focus of SmackDown. Yeah, we have other storylines going there, but who's paying? Nope. And this is crazy to say, but when you have things going on with The Miz, with Daniel Bryan, with AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, great things are going on, yet we're here talking about Becky Lynch in the women's division. When was the last time that was the case?
It's
never. Even when Trish and Lita were running the division, we still weren't talking the women's division above the men. And here we are talking the women's division above the entire organization.
Absolutely.
And even when we're talking like SmackDown, especially like these last couple months, our main focus of topics, like, you know, yeah, we bring in the other matches, talk a little bit about the storyline, but the main thing is just every week Becky just keeps getting better and better, and then bringing up with everything with the women's division. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, it's a very unique and a fabulous time to be watching wrestling, because it's no longer the women just being balanced. I mean, we talk about this for two, you know, since we've been starting this, and I've mentioned it since starting watching NXT, seeing this talent growing and going and to the Mae Young Classic and everything. But now it's just gotten to a point where, yeah, you're absolutely right. The women are carrying SmackDown, and as the women go, SmackDown going, and they're skyrocketing. They cannot do any wrong right now. Raw needs to really kind of fine tune their situation and maybe just take a second to look at the differences between. They've got more time to be able to showcase more talent and have better storylines, but I'm sorry, I think it started the minute they gave Brock Lesnar the belt back, because once again, we don't have a champion on Raw. I mean, regardless of what you think of how Daniel Bryan, at least he's showing up every week with a belt in his hand. He might not wrestle, but he's there. Brock Lesnar is not there. He has his Heyman come out and do it. It's pathetic, and that's where I think they really lost themselves is when they gave him the belt, because now all your big talents getting injured, having issues. You don't have your champion hanging around and doing stuff. It's horrible.
Yep.
So, when TLC is coming around in the next couple of weeks, what do you got? Not to jump totally into it, but what do you guys think about the first match that they really announced? Is the TLC match, Asuka, Charlotte, and the Man, which I still find funny that her biggest rival right now is Charlotte Flair, Charlotte Flair.
I think it's fantastic. I think the match that they're in this having this match. And that it's the long TLC championship match is happening for the women's. I think it's fantastic. I'm irritated the fact that Asuka's in this match. I don't think there's any reason for her to be in the match. I think this could have been an even better match. It was just Becky and Charlotte and them doing the TLC. Asuka's going to highlight her and give her an opportunity where I think she's going to be the one that we see. And, you know, well, actually, not just her, because I know Charlotte does some spots too, but we're going to get the spots out of the two of them. We're not going to get the spots out of Becky. But I'm interested to see what's going to do. The fact that this is TLC and we only have two table ladders and chairs matches, only one of them is for the championship match, at that point, I am glad that it is the women's title match. Yep. Yeah.
Does it go as far as being – do they make it the headline match? I think they do. Not.
I think they have to. I don't think they're
I could see it being the headline match, but just based on a couple of comments and some of the rumors too, that the supposedly the Braun Baron match is supposed to be the main event.
That match may not even happen. So with Baron shows up, how's that? I mean, if Braun doesn't show up, how's that even gonna work?
Yeah,
the only other match
that's what I said the rumors that I heard.
The only one that can go above this would be the AJ and Daniel Bryan match. And I guarantee you right now, no one wants to see AJ and Daniel Bryan above the triple threat TLC match.
Hell no. Yeah. And I to go back on the Baron Corbin match, I am over this freaking wannabe general manager. It's another form of the authority. And it's just, when are they going to learn that crap is done? We're tired of seeing the McMahons getting themselves involved. I think the shows go much better when you don't see Triple H or Stephanie McMahon. The only one you could really get away showing all the time is Shane McMahon. It's because he was gone for 10 years and he actually is better on the mic and better on camera. People tend to generate, regardless if he's good or bad, they tend to like him more than Stephanie McMahon's screeching voice.
I mean, to be fair, Shane McMahon is one third greatest in the world.
Thank you. I was waiting for a break to say that.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And he's one third of the greatest tag team in the world.
Which for some reason he doesn't know yet. He does not know that yet. And then I'm interested to see what they're going to be doing with Miz. It's cool that they're keeping him in the kind of like the whole perspective here. Like, he's not just backing out. They're not making him just mid-card stuff. He's up there, even if it is just to do Miz TV.
Which I don't even want to see Miz TV. I want to watch Truth TV.
7 second dance break.
There you go. 7 day. Yeah. Yeah.
Truth and Carmella came out and did that. Okay. Bye.
Yeah, man, and it's the only time that I can actually stand Carmella. I mean, they're using her for something that's – I mean, I hope – yeah. TLC – now, I have not seen the matches. I've heard the obviously one. Has there been – other than Baron Corbin and Braun, has there been anything else announced so far?
There are 10 matches slated for TLC. All but one has been named. And the one that hasn't been named is because it's the mixed match challenge and it's going to end up being the final. So after next week's tournament. So those two teams. And here's the cool. I like the fact that they're doing this then, because there's a stipulation with the mixed match challenge. The winning team, both respective men and women, will be the 30th entrant into the respective Royal Rumble. So I think that is a pretty damn cool stipulation to add to the Mixed Match Challenge to get people to watch that. We have Rollins and Ambrose for the Intercontinental Championship. Strowman and Corbin for the in a TLC match, obviously for Braun's Royal Rumble Championship match or Corbin's general manager position. Rousey versus Jax in a regular singles match. Bryan versus AJ in a regular singles championship match. Becky, Charlotte, Asuka, Triple Threats, TLC Women's Championship match. Balor, McIntyre, and Elias and Lashley in two different singles matches. Triple Threat tag team match for the SDL tags. Bar, Usos, and The New Day. And then we have, this better be a pre-show, but Natalya and Ruby Riott. And that's going to be a tables match. I don't really want to get too much into who's going to win and into the match themselves.
We're not doing a TLC. No, that's
my thought on the TLC is that this is what irritates me about TLC. We have a TLC match or a couple of them, and then that's really it. If it's TLC. So when I see a TLC match, we talk about with the Hell in a Cell. We talked about this with Night of Champions. You know, when we have those kind of shows, I want tables matches. I want ladder matches. I want chair matches. I want TLC. Every single match on this card should have one of those three stipulations in it.
They did a stairs match one year. Remember that? With the stairs?
We have three singles matches. No, I'm sorry. Five singles matches with none of those in there. They are dropping the ball 100%. I get they want to showcase the wrestling and not showcase all these, stipulations and here's foreign objects. But that's why we watch TLC. We watch it for tables. We watch it for ladders. We watch it for chairs.
Devon, get the table!
So next week we're on, we'll be talking TLC pre-show and giving our predictions for that one. That's 10 matches. Holy crap. There is one last thing we want to talk about before we go, and I didn't mention this before because it just popped in my head. It's part of the SmackDown show, or excuse me, not SmackDown, it was Raw, I think. It was the interview. Now, the one thing that was kind of that they're trying to do that kind of bugs me was the Alexa Bliss brings out Sasha Banks and Bayley and then allows people in the fans to stands to ask questions and stuff like that. And the one question they posed to Bayley to them was, what was one thing they would want to change for the upcoming year? And what did Bayley say?
The same thing we've been talking about for six months.
Exactly. Tag team championship belts for the women. They finally threw it out on the television show. It's just not us. Every person who's a wrestling fan of WWE or just in general have said that the women's have needed to have a tag team championship. Now, other promotions have those tag team championships. TNA has women's tag team champions. I believe Ring of Honor has them as well, correct?
Not women's.
Not women's. Okay, so I know TNA has it.
Ring of Honor just brought the world championship for the women's division this year. So
okay, gotcha. So there it's coming around, but why is it WWE jumped on this the minute the women's division was so freaking hot?
I think that they're taking their time with it because they know people want it. And I think they're building, if you watch the last couple months, they've been slowly building up individual tag teams in the women's division to where once they go live with this, they have teams developed. Obviously, Sasha and Bayley, we had
Riot
Mandy,
Squad.
Mandy and Sonya. We have Nia and Tamina. We have Alicia and Mickey. But then you have Ruby Riott, who's the Riot new Squad. Essentially, look at it, they're the New Day version because there's the three of them. But they have built the, especially with Bayley, Sasha, Ruby Riott, the Riot Squad, Mandy and Deville. They built the Iconics. You built these groups up that are known to be a duo the entire time they're there. So when they go to flip the switch, they have a stable of tag teams in the women's division that this makes sense for, rather than here, hey, guess what? Let's pull out all 30 women of the roster, and then we're going to present to them tag team belts, and then we're going to start building stories and building teams. Yeah. Well, no, we already have them here. So because you guys have been doing this, here's the belts to go with it now.
Yeah. Now, here's something just to throw in there really quick, not to cut you off, my freak, we'll get to you, is the fact that you have mentioned a lot of tag teams that, yes, they've been developing over the last 6 months. The problem I see with that, and maybe you were going to jump on this, Mind Freak, is the fact that when you look at it, that's practically the entire roster. So, Mind Freak, what were you about to throw in there?
Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, you're setting up all these tag teams, as Bearded Master just said. You know, you're building these, getting these, like, you know, actual storylines. All right, they've been teams for a while. We got the belts, but the problem is when you have like set groups as a tag team. Like, do you do two separate tag teams or like two separate tag titles for each show? Or do you kind of move most of the tag teams onto one show with the women's division and have them fight over one set of belts?
I think it's definitely one belt.
It's definitely one set of belts. Or do you wait until, you know, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania season and bring up a couple more ladies from NXT? So that way you have enough to do, you know, as your tag teams. But then also still have a couple here and there going for the main title.
Yeah, it's interesting because they have people to fill in, but it's too early for them. Like, NXT is starting to bring some more talent in. You have NXT UK, obviously, yep, being led by Toni Storm and stuff, which is great, but they're not there yet. Like, they haven't built up the rapport that the Four Horsewomen did. And when you've got like an NXT, for example, I know that they're going to be bringing in the UFC Four Horsewomen. I know that's kind of like in the play already, but it's I don't know, man. It's like all their rosters in this tag team thing that people have been begging for 6 months. And I'm nervous that they're going to do this. And then all you have left over are going to be Asuka, Ember Moon, Charlotte, and
Becky.
Becky and Alexa Bliss, if Alexa Bliss comes back. Oh, and that's about it, because everyone else is going to be on a tag team. So they definitely need to bring up some of that talent from NXT when they actually start doing it, because once it does, I mean, they're going to be preoccupied with the tournament or whatever they're going to be doing to get it going. They need to have some additional women talent to fill in the single matches.
Oh, they will, because, you know, given some months, they're going to have, you know, by the end of next year, they're going to have some big names that are added to the roster. I'm going to go and say now that by the end of next year, we might be seeing good old Tessa Blanchard in the WWE taking on the entire division. I mean, there's been some interaction with Charlotte Flair and Tessa on, you know, throwing her names around each other online. So looking to see if that happens. And I think that eventually that will happen, and that Tessa is a name that goes straight to the main roster, not NXT.
Well, I hope so, because, yeah, they had her in the Mae Young Classic, and I think she even did some dark matches that they showed on NXT when the Mae Young Classic was going. So, absolutely, they need to have a person like Tessa Blanchard in there to, as they get the shows, like, as they get the Fox and as they build up the shows and everything, they have more of a base to the women, to where they might even go to that whole like all women show. They've done the pay-per-view, you know.
And here's one thing to think about too, and I think this is what it's all coming down to, even with storyline from Raw and why it's been so weak and why SmackDown's been looking so strong. I think a lot of what's going on right now backstage and what we're seeing on TV is to build up that SmackDown brand and to build up WWE as an innovator, so that when they go live in October on the Fox network, they have a much bigger following to drag and a roster and things going on to bring an audience to that show and that channel to make, you know, get that investment back. So I think that we're going to start seeing things. And I think that's why I don't think we're going to see anything with tag teams for the women's division until at least Royal Rumble, so that we start seeing that come along towards the road to WrestleMania. And I don't think we see a culmination and a title given until WrestleMania, and I think that would be an amazing time to give that. We saw it a couple years ago when they unveiled the women's title. I don't see why they wouldn't unveil the fact that we're already in December and we're already talking, you know, we're only less than a month away from essentially the road to WrestleMania. I don't see why they just don't wait and unveil it at WrestleMania.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a good call. My
of course it is. I made it.
Oh, yep. Man, here we go. my freak, any other comments on that? What do you think?
Just give us the tag titles for the women already.
I agree with what Bearded Master said.
I mean, it's all the points I've essentially made, but okay.
Oh, my God.
You're welcome for that thought.
Oh, once in a while it happens, I know.
Yeah, the hamster turns a little faster in the wheel, doesn't it? Oh man.
You gonna go finish that one?
No, I'm good. I'm awesome.
Yes, sir.
Marty is a closet mariner.
Do you see who the star of Marine Six is? Damn right.
The man, Becky Lynch. Absolutely. Man.
So since we're talking about TLC and pay-per-views and the end of the year and WrestleMania and everything coming up, the end of the year is right around the corner. We're going to have our TLC prediction show next week. Just want to throw this out there right now. Coming to the end of the year, I'm leading the record for pay-per-view picks this year. A win's a win, man.
Where are we at right now going into the final pay-per-view of the year?
So going into TLC, we have myself at the top of the list at 38-26. Mind Freak in second place, who's kind of been hanging around that middle ground the entire time, 36-27. And then Miss Invader, who was big talk, and I'm winning this pay-per-view, sitting down at just over 500 at 32-31. Yes, I do have one more tally mark compared to the rest, but that's because I picked a sole survivor at Survivor Series, so I got the bonus point that we agreed to beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So with 10 matches on the TLC card coming up, this can go either any way, you know.
Everyone's tracking distance. Wouldn't it be just amazing if for some reason we all ended up with the same record?
I might cry. I'm not gonna lie. I might go into a hiatus and come back with the gas chamber mask.
Oh man, I was not gonna talk about Dean Bane Ambrose there, because that's what I see. I see Bane from freaking Batman, man. That's what gas mask, the jacket. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Only then he had my permission to die.
Oh,
kudos
to Renee Young walking that tightrope with the whole freaking, they keep grilling her stuff and she just leaves. You know what? I'm not gonna lie.
That's starting to irritate the hell out of me.
Her,
I don't know nothing. What's said, you know, between a man and a woman is sacred. I really don't care. And the fact that they keep pushing it on her, obviously we all know she knows something. So the fact they keep doing it is just irritating. It's like, just get over it. Like, she's not going to say anything. Why keep throwing it out there? Just have a separation. That's one reason why I was hoping that Dean Ambrose would end up going back to SmackDown, just because I don't want to deal with that husband and wife. What's Dean Rollins doing kind of thing. It's annoying. I think a cheap thrill. I want to say that the WWE's better than that, but we all know they're not.
Well, and you also have to remember, this is a different WWE now, to where they don't mind that they're traveling on the road.
No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about as far as the storyline goes.
Oh, yeah, I got you. Yeah. And yeah, I am agreeing with our producer, Mess. You got to make sure you take it easy on me, the beauty. I will put you on the list.
You just made the list.
The list of Santa.
Yeah. No, bro, it's the list of Jericho. Get it right.
Yeah, stop. Anyways.
It's the alpha.
Ah, man. We got to get Jericho back, man. Jericho needs to
be doing this. Why? Jericho is on the top of his game doing the biggest. He's the biggest name. With the exception of Cody, Jericho is the biggest name in wrestling outside of WWE. He has surpassed Omega. He surpassed Okada. The fact that Jericho is doing things as big as he has been is amazing. I don't want him coming back to WWE anytime soon, because I can't wait till Wrestle Kingdom in January, where we see him fighting for the IC title, defending his IC title. And I hope he retains it, because I love what he's doing outside of the WWE now.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I just miss seeing Jericho all the time, man. Regardless of how they use him, seeing Jericho doing promotions and everything is just freaking awesome, man.
That's what makes sense. You want to know how you get around that?
How do you get around that, sir?
Subscribe to New Japan World and watch some New Japan wrestling.
There it is. Promo. We should hashtag that, have them watch it, maybe give us some kudos. What can we say about that? Yes. Hey, I'm happy we got this show in, guys, because next week we've got our last pay-per-view of the year. We've got our preview show. This is the first time I got the beard to demonstrate. I need to at least get it on record somewhere. But I can't wait for next week so we can do our last prediction show of the year and see who comes out at the top there. If anything, if I can at least get ahead of freaking Mind Freak, that's all I care about at this point, man. This is horrible, man. It's horrible.
Hey. You have the white beard, so you should be overflowing with amounts of wisdom, but your picks say otherwise, bro.
Oh, yeah.
Picks say otherwise, man.
I still have the hair on top.
Oh, sir. God!
Oh, yeah.
Please don't ever show that again.
Oh, my God.
You got to do it all, man.
Oh, hey, man, River there, man.
The kids are looking.
He looks like, right with that last expression, he looks like an old Woody Allen.
You've seen there's a blend. And there's, you know, a couple pictures that come to mind right now. There's the old man from Road Trip, yeah. The grandpa. The old man at the bar from Wedding Singer.
Sounds like a country song.
I remember
I got one better for you just because I like having fun with it. Let's go straight to Deadpool and call me Fat Gandalf. Come on, man. Get it on.
Nice.
I do it for a good cause, though, man. Last weekend, just to throw a shameless plug at myself, I was actually the big guy in a parade, man. And that was awesome being going down the road in the back of a 1927 Model T. It's pretty sick, man. It was pretty cool. So, anyways, where can we follow? I mean, obviously, you can see us on the screen here where you can follow us for most of our accounts. Mind Freak, where else can they follow you? Anywhere else?
You can follow me right here on Twitch at twitch.tv/BTBMindFreak. My stream, I'm currently in the process of revamping everything, as well as my YouTube channel. More info coming out later on my Twitter feed, which you can see over my shoulder.
Boom. How about you, Bearded Master?
Before I get into mine, I'm going to shout out one of the members that's joining us on our Twitch feed right now, and that's Petopolis. You can follow him at Petopolis. Petopolis, that's my boy Pete. Always shouting us out on Twitter. Always listening to our shows. He's a big contributor to the wrestling Twitter first. Sharing other thoughts and ideas of wrestling community out there, getting our name out there, has been a strong supporter since day one. Look him up at Petopolis. He's a great, great guy to be listening to and interacting with. Outside that, you can follow me at @abeardedmaster, both Instagram and Twitter, as well as Boots to the Face. It's always talking wrestling 24/7. Hit me up on there. We'll get some good threads going. And we'll talk some deep wrestling there and maybe get some more content for our show that we can share with the universe.
Yeah, man. I wouldn't mind. Like, I saw those Boots of the Faces shirts you guys had, man. Those are pretty sick.
Doing what we can. Pro wrestling tees.
And, of course, you can always follow me, like you see on the screen there, Masonic Vader. But, like I always like to mention at the end of the show, follow me, not follow the show. There's no need to follow me because I do most of my stuff through the show anyways, through the Twitter account and stuff. So definitely go to Malice Smack Talk on Twitter. Check us out on YouTube. All of our old casts are there. We'll be winding up the year this year with next week with our prediction show for TLC. And then we'll hopefully squeeze one in at the end of the year just to see who gets the winning the belt in a sense. Which I think we need to come up with a belt. We gotta figure that out.
I think post TLC, we need to look at possibly doing some kind of countdown show so that we can go on and post before the new year the year ends and the New Year's Eve comes. Just kind of, it's always good and nice to have a little countdown to go with the New Year's Eve count.
We got to carry carry the Malice channel for at least another couple weeks,
hey,
right?
Hey, I got a perfect top 10 countdown.
Oh,
top
boy.
10 countdowns of Mind Freak going, yes.
I got one even better. But it can't be 10 because it's going to probably be 100. How many times you've actually agreed with us after we've said our piece?
Hold on. Even to go above that, it's going to be hard. It's going to be like trying to figure out how many times the Big Show has turned heel and turned face.
Damn. Oh, but I know the shortest one we could do. How many times Brock Lesnar was on TV?
I'm out.
Well, hey, guys, thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. It was good to be back in the show. We will definitely see you guys next week doing our TLC preview match and get our predictions in. And please, like always, put some comments on our videos. Tell us what we did right or wrong. Tell us we're complete a-holes if you think we are. But more importantly, just tell us that you love the show, and we'll keep doing it for you because I know we do. So as we always like to finish our smack talk, we always like to finish off with the 1, 2, 3. High quality streaming, let me tell you. Good night, everybody.